To be an elite financial advisor, you need to exceed your clients' expectations whenever they meet with you. Unfortunately, most advisors are holding very average meetings. Years ago, I finally challenged myself to evaluate my meetings, and I realized they were very average at best. It was not until I unlocked the power of the whiteboard when the energy changed in the room, when I had clients saying, "This was a great meeting. This was more than I expected." I want to challenge you to start using a whiteboard today. Stand up in the room, teach, coach, educate, and exceed your clients' expectations. Check out gobeelite.com to see 10 videos that I've made of me whiteboarding. 5 of those videos are me teaching advisors how to whiteboard, and 5 of those videos are videos I've sent directly to my clients. This is a very easy way to improve your communication skills, but also to attract your clients, to attract new prospects, and to exceed their expectations. Go check it out. Welcome, fellow advisors.
Do that again. I was getting dressed.
Yeah, we're just going to roll. Today.
To be fair for the audio, I was just putting a jacket on.
Yeah, you're going to try to get casual. Like, the jacket's nice. Let's keep it.
Thank you.
Today, we're going to talk about communication. And the longer I'm in this business, the more convicted I am that this is the superpower every advisor needs to have and develop and grow. Yet it is the one that advisors and humans avoid like the plague because it can be uncomfortable until you break through and you realize this works. It helps my business. My confidence is higher. In particular, though, we want to talk about how do you communicate with clients in down markets? So we're coming out of a down market, hopefully soon, but we're in it right now. So how do clients handle it? How much should advisors talk to clients? We're going to break this down for you. I'm going to share what we're trying to do at Legacy and what we're seeing great success in. So practically, you can evaluate your system and say what's working and what needs to be adjusted.
So one of the ways that you can know if yourself and or your team, whether you are the team or you have a team, if you're activating or you're working in an average capacity, is that you have fear when the markets go down. So what is the contrast to, I don't want that phone to ring. I don't want a text message to come through. Like that's the average response because you're reactive. Mm-hmm. What's an elite advisor experience when a market goes down?
I think as I've grown, developed, been through market cycles, my initial reaction is not fear. There's opportunity here. I know there's going to be more work for me and my team, especially if we're being proactive about it. But I think for now, I'm not surprised. So an elite advisor, whether you're newer in the business or later in the business, you should not be surprised when there's a market downturn or news hits and you're like, oh no, what's going on? Like that's going to keep happening. And so part of it is as a business owner, how are you learning to exist within that? Mm-hmm. And I've read some books on like Stoic philosophers and they're like, you should never be surprised. Meaning at all times, you should know anything can happen, but what you can't control is how you respond to it. And so as a business owner, what is the master plan you have sitting on the side of your desk that the team knows is there? And you're like, if the market falls by 10%, 20%, 50%, we activate the plan B. Like you are prepared as a business owner to weather that storm. And if you're really prepared, you can actually benefit from that storm. Meaning, hey, there's probably clients or prospects that weren't calling me back that maybe would take my call now. How can I, like in a down real estate market, a really savvy investor would say, I'm going to go buy up as much property as I can.
Yeah.
Where the average advisor, the average real estate investor is fearful and they're paralyzed and they're just trying to maintain things. You can rise above that and be a better entrepreneur.
I wish it carried over and I don't know why it doesn't. That imagine getting an ad in the mail and it's everything you liked was on sale. Like who's going to be threatened by that? Mm-hmm. Even if you bought one last week, I guess I like them. I'll go buy more of them. Right. I don't know why that doesn't apply or why that doesn't hold with people in stocks, but it just, for some reason it just doesn't. Yeah. And I even think about this. I think about things I own, physical things I own, and then it goes on sale. I'm not like upset. I'm like, cool. I'm going to go buy more of them. I don't live in this regret of, man, I paid $10 more 3 years ago for that. Yeah. And you're like, no, just they're on sale. I'm going to go buy more. I like them, So I'm not sure why that doesn't, but that is
what it is. I feel like when it comes, something as advisors we have to battle against is if it was just in isolation, like the market is dropping and there's really clear reasons why, and they're big companies that have strong fundamentals and we can talk clients into like, hey, this is going to work. but there's always like 10 different stories happening around the world at the same time that somewhat caused the market downturn.
Yeah.
The clients don't fully understand. And if you listen to the news is no, this time the world is ending, you know, like, and no, it wasn't last time, this time the world is ending. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have to, as advisors that know this space, when we're not trying to create fear, we do have to say, what is the client feeling? And it's, I probably don't understand anything the news is saying, but everybody seems scared. My statements are dropping. So many things are converging to create fear that it is it's the rare client that is, this'll be fine. I've been through it. Most clients have some level of fear, can't put their finger on it. And then you have the clients that are, I want to go to cash. My emotions are running my decisions at this point. But as an advisor, we cannot ignore what's happening. And so practically, what is a reasonable way to address it without going too far?
Yeah. And we're going to talk about, as an advisor, what is your responsibility when someone does want to make those changes?
And so I'd say as we break this down today, audit your system. And one side of the spectrum is I do nothing and just hope it works out. My client retention is pretty good. The other is I join them in the emotion. I'm over-communicating. I'm creating fear by over-communicating. I'm bringing things to their attention that are not that important, but maybe just confuse them. There is a sweet spot in there. There's a Goldilocks zone where they're hearing enough from you to know that you're on it. Because that's really what they want to know. Like, are you watching my accounts and are you scared? But if you're like, no, we prepared for this. We're good to go. Here are the moves we're making. There's a way to communicate that they just a sigh of relief. And they're like, thank you. That's why I work with you. That's the sweet spot we're trying to find.
So as an advisor who wants to be elite in their communication, and we talked about that being, if you could just choose one skill to be great at, communication would be the one that will solve so many other issues as an advisor. An average advisor, an average team would just wait. They just go, well, market's going down. We're just going to wait. And that would be maybe even the first time that there's communication about that. So as an elite advisor, what does it look like to not wait, but to be proactive, but also not to be like a live news channel that, you know, I mean, how do you balance? Because you have to be a little reactive, right? Because you have to wait for it to happen before you respond. But how do you not wait for the market to go down to have difficult conversations about the market going down?
Yeah, what comes up in me when you say that is at a higher level, you have to decide as an advisor, are you the advisor that's just trying to pursue your own comfort? Meaning you will not be triggered until your personal income is affected enough to respond. And I think there's a lot of advisors like that. Like, I worked hard enough and I'm making just enough money that I just want to kind of maintain this thing. You know, that is, to me, not an entrepreneurial spirit. You know, like if you have something unique that can help people, you should try to get that to as many people as possible, which then says, hey, who are you hiring to make yourself better? Like, that is an entrepreneurial minded advisor.
Yeah.
For that advisor, when these things happen, the goal is I need to retain my clients with just enough information. I don't want to over communicate because that takes time. I'm wasting time, but I need to give them just enough information, just enough touch. But then I also need to be prepared and ready for where's the opportunity here for my firm to shine and get more business out there. So you have to decide which one of those are you. There's a good chance if you're the first one, which is my primary driver is my own comfort and my kind of hangout schedule, you probably don't see yourself as that. You would have to sit with that for a while to say, okay, what is Sten and Andy talking about? Wow, I do match more of that than this growth-minded, proactive entrepreneurial advisor. Those two advisors do totally different things.
I will give maybe some runway or some grace or some space for there's a lot of people that listen to this. There's people in our coaching program. There's people coming to our events that they've lived in the world of comfort, but they're like, you know what? I'm bored, or that's not going to get me where comfort is not going to get me where I want to go. I need to be more entrepreneurial. So I think there are, of all the advisors, there's way more comfort advisors than there are entrepreneurial advisors. Yeah. And so I think those who are listening want that, and we're trying to give a plan to that. What about the idea that you can become overwhelmed or reactive to your clients' emotions? An average investor might feel the weight or responsible for, or even just like want to avoid because they just don't like sort of all this negativity or panic coming at them, which I think is natural. Like, my dad worked at 911 for a while. I don't know if I told the story, but like, he's like, you would think it's really hard, but you just know every time you pick up the phone, it's bad news. And so you just like, you become comfortable with, this is difficult. how can advisors become more elite and just go, I'm okay knowing that the person who's calling is not calling to say, hey, Stan, thanks so much. You're doing a great job. Or they're usually calling because they're worried.
Yeah. In my story, it took some like really hard personal things and personal work outside of business to then be able to translate that into business. I can think of probably many times business coaches or advisors were trying to help me understand how to sit in a hard conversation with a client, how to not try to fix it in the moment, how not to let the discomfort I'm feeling from their emotions, whether it's sadness, frustration, make me uncomfortable and try to just talk to fill the space. And it wasn't until I just went through hard life stuff and came out of that I was like, oh, I just feel more equipped now to help people with that. So I don't even know for everybody listening, if there's like, hey, take this course, learn this thing. Sometimes it's like you just got beat up by life and something's going on. And so now that I have the skill set, that this surge and this market downturn, as I've been meeting with most of my clients, has been one of the least stressful because I know they're coming with some feeling. I know they're going to have fear. Sometimes it's anger, but the anger is really like, just tell me that you're thinking about me, that you're watching my accounts.
Yeah.
To where now I think I have this more of a calm confidence on those calls to where I can hold space for, hey, all the stuff you're feeling, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
I had a client in my office crying the other day.
Oh, man.
For something. And I said, everything you just said makes total sense.
Yeah.
About her business and where she can transition to and all these things. I was like, that just feels like a lot. And then not to solve it, but I just want to say, I meet with a lot of business owners and like, you've done a great job. Like you have a great reputation in this town. And so it's enough encouragement, but I'm not in there trying to solve her problem. And so there is something about being able to kind of sit in and receive a client's frustration, anger, sadness, and say, that makes sense. But hey, by the way, the things that I'm here to help you with, like I got you, like this is the stuff we're doing. And so there's a ability to reassure and educate, but you're not trying to like fix and avoid.
I don't want to do role playing because I think it's weird, but can you give me an example of what a conversation would sound like for someone who is more reactive? If I call and I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, what's going on? What are you doing? What are you going to do to fix this? What would an immature advisor or one that's, you know, gets caught up in that? How do you react?
Yeah. To me, what comes to mind is the clients that look at the high watermark. They're the clients that are like, hey, why am I no longer at $1 million? Well, you know, you're at 975 because the market's dropped a little bit. So like, remember, we've been here before and it comes back. And there are clients that like, if the account ever hits a certain value, that is now the point of like anything that falls below that is now unacceptable. And I've had to fire some clients like this after years of trying to coach them through it. And like, I'm battling in the trenches to help them make money. And I'm like, right. You're not helping me help you.
Yeah.
Like you're making this very challenging to get you where you say you want to go.
So the high watermark suddenly becomes the basement. What you're saying?
Pretty much.
Like it can never.
It can only go up from here.
The high watermark becomes the floor of the pool. You're like, what? It's like, how is that? That was a high water. No, that is now the bottom of the pool, you know?
And so there's a couple clients come to mind that really what I got to the root of was like, and I would say like, why are you so frustrated at this process? You've know it goes up, you know it goes down. I've explained to you before that when it's down, there's things that investments can be on sale, like that could be good for us long term.
Yeah,
every time it seems like it just radiates through your body and like anger is your go-to. And one client I can think of now is like, I just want to make sure that you're giving me attention. You know, it was kind of like the squeaky wheel, you know, the belligerent student that gets in trouble all the time. It's like, I need attention because I need to feel seen and known. Because now, you know, and it's harder when you're new in the business because you're like, I can't lose this client. So I'm a little more frantic.
That's fair.
I want to fight to keep them.
Yeah.
And there's a benefit to being in the business long enough and growing your practice to where those conversations can be, hey, I want to work with people that are a pleasure to work with, that appreciate what I do, where our system makes sense. And so you can maybe be a little more discerning. But you need to, in down markets, be one, comfortable enough to sit in the tension of a hard conversation and let people share and be like, man, I hear you. Like that makes sense. But by the way, this is why we're on the team. And then you can reassure them. And those conversations do serve to remind them why they work with you. So those conversations are valuable. But you also need to be able to lean in with clients too and ask challenging questions. Say, so this is what I'm hearing you say. So what I'm hearing you say is that you're not comfortable if your account ever goes down. Well, we may need to change your plan. That if you don't have anything to hide, if you're confident in your knowledge, like those conversations, you can lead that well. That there's been times I've been in my 20s and had conversations with people in their 50s and they leave like, wow, thank you for that. Like I needed you to play that role for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to get good at that is one reps over time, but there's so much just like emotional intelligence and personal work.
Yeah.
You know, that's another 10 episodes for us to do someday. But in a down market like we are now, do not shy away from hard conversations because you are not selling them things. You are their advisor. The advisor tells them hard truths. The advisor asks them challenging questions.
Yeah.
That's the person you want to be.
Hey, friend, this is Andy. Pardon the interruption, but first I want to say, hey, thank you so much for being a faithful listener to our show. And second, I want to tell you about something that we have never done before that we're doing now, which is we are taking deposits for our event. So our next event in person is not until October of 2025. So we've decided to take deposits now for that event. It will sell out. We sold out our April event, and we have a huge gap between now and our next event. So if you go to howtocharge.live.com, that's howtocharge.live.com right now, you can put a deposit down, hold your seat, and then pay the rest later in the year. So we will hopefully see you at our next event. You won't want to miss it. And now back to our show.
So if we knew that there was going to be a five-year drought coming, and I sold a book about, you know, how to survive a five-year drought, I'd probably sell a lot of copies if people knew that was coming. And what I find interesting is that advisors, especially if you're new and you haven't been through a down market like this, and you're like, I'm not really good at difficult conversations. Like, there's lots of information out there about how to have difficult conversations, right? And so I would encourage you, if you struggled in this sort of cycle, like, be ready for the next time. And I think this is one of the things that we don't hear. You know, we encounter so many different advisors. For all the training we've talked about with leaders, I don't know that I've ever heard any of them reference, hey, and we have this, you know, three sections or 1 week, and we just talk about how to have really hard conversations with your clients.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think there's training I've seen on like open-ended questions. It's very sales training oriented.
Yeah.
Which is better than nothing. But if you're a leader,
more about what you're saying though. You said some really powerful things like, I just sit in it with them. And like, that's empathy. You know what I mean? Like, or just affirmation. Mm-hmm. Like those to me are, and you know, you're the advisor, but like that's unique, I think, to the advisor space.
Yeah, I think what I've learned and what I've tried to unlock is like, I want most of my interactions to be like forward-looking and positive. Mm-hmm. You know, every meeting I have with a prospect or a client is called a strategy meeting for a reason. I want them to always leave feeling like, okay, there was some hard stuff in there, but like, he says I'm on the right track. He said there's a lot of opportunity as opposed to like, hey, I've made a bunch of mistakes. And I think every leader, if you're listening, you should have training with your team on how to communicate in that way. That encompasses whiteboarding, you're standing up in the room, you're asking great questions. But if you do that over time and you earn people's trust, there will be opportunities where negative emotions come up. And if you had to choose, I would say spend more time on the positive, forward-looking, creative conversation for now, so you leave people feeling that way. But over time, make sure you're equipping yourself, or at least aware, what am I going to do with a hard conversation coming up?
Yeah.
And there's, you know, Radical Candor, Thank You for the Feedback. There's great books that practically, and really what it boils down to is, if you are a healthy, balanced adult, you should be able to sit in other people's emotions with them and recognize that's not mine to fix or solve. And I think that's just something for all of us to say, I want to get really good at that. And if you have not done proactive work on that, you're probably not good at that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, our world is not set up in a way to teach you that naturally, that you really need to lean into that.
Yeah. I think that the two extremes might be, one is you completely reject it and you say like, I don't want to hear that, or I don't understand it. Or you get really defensive. You know, with a client, you're like, it's fine, just relax, right? That's defensive. And then there's the other end, which is like codependency, which is more just like, oh my gosh, you're right, it's so bad. You know, like, you don't have to enter into someone else's emotions just because they're really strong. Yeah. You can sit there with them, sort of looking at it instead of just being a part of it. I'm curious what tools you use, what strategies you've used to be more proactive in your communication, to be more elite and separate yourself. Because I'll throw out this quick numbers real quick, and I think you touched on this. Advisors will fear that people are leaving because the returns aren't good. A study done by Morningstar, I think it was 2023, it was pretty recent. Only 9% of clients said, I left because of returns. 9% of those who did leave, which is pretty small. I mean, actually, it was one of the, if not the smallest reason for leaving. It was one of the smallest. So communication was much higher on that list. So what are some things you do to be proactive and communicate efficiently? What tools do you use? We'll start with that.
Yeah, I think it's been a progression for me. And part of it is capacity. I think there's only so much you can do if you don't have a team. because you just maybe don't have the time to manage and get things compliance approved and be forward looking. Yeah, and if the market dips, you happen to have the time in your day to spin up a video or an email and get it approved and out that afternoon. Like some of the stuff does take time. There's firms we've coached where they have departments that help advisors with this. Yeah. And so you maybe don't have to build it yourself, but make sure you know if it's available in your firm. Step one for me was I just touch individuals a lot on my own. I'm calling them, I'm responding to their emails. Like it's very manual, not very scalable. And it worked when my practice was smaller, but as my practice grew, I then moved into, okay, I'm going to send out a quarterly newsletter. Like it's an update on what we're doing with the investments. It's some consistent communication that eventually grew to, hey, we have a quarterly market update, but now we're going to do some type of monthly communication. Once a month, we're going to send out, hey, here's some things we're seeing. We're thinking about you. But that was all text. It was all email. And we realized our open rates are pretty good. People liked our stuff. But I was like, how do I increase that even more? That's when we moved into video. I was like, I think people want me to coach and teach them live. And I think people will engage with a video more than they would just read my long email, even if it was formatted pretty well. And that's where we're now. We send out every 2 weeks, we send out an educational whiteboarding video of me to my clients. Hey, I want you to think about this. It's a good opportunity. Hey, send this to your friends. It's a good way to get referrals. But I'm like, I want them to keep seeing me. So it increases my credibility and trust with them. Then what we just recently added was my rep chat, which is emails are fine. A lot of clients open those, but now we have a text service to where when I do those videos, I can send the video out via text. Really cool dashboard. We can see who opts in. We haven't had any clients opt out. But great raving reviews from everybody on it.
Just kidding.
You were a filler in there.
No, and I checked that in preparation for the episode. I checked with the staff and I was like, hey, I need some stats. And one of them is how are you doing opt outs? It's like nobody's opted out.
Yeah.
Because I mean, challenge yourself listening to this right now. How many unread text messages do you have? And if you have them unread, do they go the whole day? I mean, I might wake up or go to bed with a few unread, but I'm going to read them, right? Yep. And so that is a phenomenal way to communicate. And I will also say that your team has done a good job, even in the formatting of the emails, that when you open the email, when you see it on your screen, the video is very prominent. Now, it's not going to play in the email, but it's like, oh, if they only did one thing, they're going to watch the video. You could like ignore the text below, like well, just watch this video, whether it is a market update or it's a whiteboarding video. So when they forward it to someone else, which we'll get to a little bit, that they're also like, oh, like if I'm only going to do one thing, I'm not even going to read this. I'm just going to play the video. And that's what you want them to do.
Yeah. I think if you could find a system, so you know where you are now, think about your practice. How well are you communicating with clients? I will tell you, like if you're just sending them a bunch of text, a bunch of content, you're probably not getting a lot of engagement, or even if they open it, they're maybe not doing what you want them to do, which is, hey, I've just satisfied their fear, so they're not calling. I'm initiating a text, even if I'm like, hey, just wanted to kind of touch base on these two things, make sure you get to them. I want them to take action on something sooner. So text is a much easier reminder than did I sit down and look at my email tonight?
Yeah.
And the third, referability, is what I'm sending them very shareable at the end of the day. So we're trying to unlock that part of it now. But I would say in the future, you know, if I was at a conference and I had five advisors on the stage that were presenting, and one was, hey, I just respond to my clients when they ask me questions, all the way up to, I send an educational video out via text every 2 weeks to my clients. And if there's ever any practical things that are changing, I have a process that within 2 days, I can get a piece of content approved and out to my clients, letting them know that we're proactive. I think all of us would eventually say, we want to be that advisor. So what in your practice can you start implementing to eventually become that advisor that your clients would never be able to say, I don't hear from them, or I don't know if they think about me, or I don't know if they have any good strategies, because you are one step ahead of them.
And I want to get into the soundtrack that some of you might have in your head around, I've never done that before. Okay, well, then start to figure out how to do it. I don't know anyone else who does that. Well, figure out, you know, how to do that. Yep. And again, Sten, you've got great advice on how to work with compliance. I know your last video that you did, you know, they're like, well, we're in a couple changes. Great. I'll make those changes. Right.
I wasn't that happy about it, but yeah, I did. I argued for a second and then I was like, that's taking too long. I guess I'll reach.
Right. Right. But the part of this that, and I love your advice on compliance and a lot of advice, which just don't view compliance this way, but it's how can we do this? Not can I do this, but how can I do this in a way that's going to work for the company?
Yep.
And I think compliance is very used to being, vilified or just demonized. And it's like, if you approach them with, how do we make this work? How can we make this work? They'll tell you the path, right, to making it work. Yep. Even if they feel like the no police You know, they do at some point have to do their job and let you release something. So a couple things you did recently, it was very personal. It was your voice. Mm-hmm. It was timely. You got it out pretty quick. Right. And even the production quality, was good. It was good lighting, you know, taking the time to make sure the sound's good. The lighting's good. You know, you did a whiteboard, talking about markets up and down and the three buckets and things like that. What was interesting to me as well, I don't know if you thought about this, but because I'm on the newsletter list as well, I know you've talked about the three buckets before, and you sort of talked about here's why we keep money in different buckets. And so it was a repeat of that. But it doesn't have to be new. But sometimes your job is just to remind people, hey, remember we talked about this thing in our last meeting? And I sent you an email about it 3 months ago. This is why we do that thing. And reminder, this is what it is. Like, people just want to be reminded, I have a plan and I'm not panicked. And I feel like your videos did a really good job. And actually, we have a link inside of eancommunity.com. Even for our free members, our coaching community gets all of them. But even our free members at eancommunity.com, you can see some examples of Sten, you know, the emails he sent out, videos he sent out to his clients.
Yeah, I think as I look back to my progression, what were the sticking points for me in getting to where I am now? One was, do I have a space that I can shoot videos pretty quickly? Like, do I have a setup to where it doesn't feel like, wow, this is a big production to like set up a camera? And some advisors, all they do is I'm making sure I have great lighting and my iPhone is going to be set up on a stand in front of my computer. So that can be fairly easy. So try not to get stuck on that. The other was content. Like, what am I going to talk about? Well, in our community, you can go to gobeelite.com and see some of these right now, is there's no shortage of good ideas that you can share. Even something that seems simple to you is maybe not simple to your clients. And if you present it in a way they've never seen before, it's very valuable. And so I think in our community, there's at least 10 free videos and a bunch of other ones for our membership where you just watch me, what I send the clients. And some of those are me teaching you as an advisor on how to maybe think through it. Mm-hmm. But the whiteboarding skills and the quantifying skills of communication are so key that you should never have a shortage of good content. But I would challenge you to say, if you're going to share something that seems common, try to put your spin on it. What's your voice? What's your angle? Hey, most advisors look at it this way, but this is how we do it. Because that's really what people want at the end of the day is like, okay, so I understand that idea, but why does it matter to me? Like, what are you wanting me to say? And so that just takes repetition, practice, watch it back, listen to yourself. And in a matter of weeks, you could jump light years ahead of where you are if you just said, okay, I'm going to focus on this for right now.
Yeah. And I think that video that you sent out was, 90 seconds, 2 minutes tops. It wasn't like, all right, settle in, kids, grab a coffee. This is going to be a while. It was concise. And I think that there's something that's so powerful as an advisor when things aren't going well, when you proactively reach out and say, hey, I want to show my face and say, we've had a plan. We're implementing the plan. You know, this is the market and this is why I'm your advisor. And here's my advice, right? It people go, okay, well, he said he's got it. I'm going to trust that he's got it.
And even with, I think we built our system right now at Legacy to consistently communicate with good videos to our clients and prospects. The next season for us is, okay, how do we do it in a way that creates more referrals? Because we are getting business now. We've got new AUM because we're being proactive. We've gotten referrals because we're being proactive. But I don't know if we've looked at it through the lens of, is this referable? Like, is this going to drive new business? I think the way we built it now is it's going to make our current clients happy and increase their engagement with us.
Yeah.
But I do think there's a season now that we can shift to say, okay, when we do this again in the future, is it when somebody opens the video, can they share it from there? Like technically, or is it where we want it to be? And then is the language I'm using, is it confident enough and direct enough that they're going to feel like, man, my friend has to hear about this?
Yeah. And also in the language itself. And again, you're very confident on video, which has come over time, just practice and going to training for it. Mm-hmm. But also I think that it's using the language of, hey, whether you're my client or someone sent you this, here's what's going on, or here's an idea. It's literally built into it that people go, oh, I should send this to someone, you know, that they would help.
So I want to challenge everybody listening to find 5 minutes a day and just self-evaluate 1 to 10. 1 being, I'm so reactive and really don't think about communication. I'm the advisor that's just always looking for the next client. I just want to close the next deal. My book of business is growing, but you know, they're not well taken care of. To 10, where you say, I have a consistent process. I have a setup with good picture, good audio, great lighting. and my team is set up in a way where I can create content quickly and effectively and stay ahead of my clients in this as opposed to being reactive. Once you plot yourself, come up with one or two things that you think, hey, I can do this practically in the near future. You may be able to add my rep chat. That was not a difficult lift. There's some work to it. Or you may say, okay, I'm going to commit to every 2 weeks to send out a video to my clients. And I'm just going to work on what's that list of content? How am I going to get with my compliance to make sure it gets approved? There's a practical step you can take this week that's going to level up your communication a lot. So next time a down market happens, we're in it now. The next time it happens, you're like, we're ready. We're not thrown off by it. We're not surprised by it. Our clients are hearing from us before they have the thought of, I probably should call my advisor.
Awesome. Thanks, Stan.
Thanks, brother.